It's Berlin briefing time, and we have a lot to get you briefed up on because we now know who will become the key ministers who will be shaping German foreign policy. German Chancellor-designate Friedrich Merz has presented his conservative CDU party team, and I have someone from his inner circle here to discuss Germany's future government lineup. The leader of the CDU party's Junge Union youth organization, Johannes Winkel, joins me down the line. And here in the studio is DW chief political correspondent and defense policy expert Nina Haase. Great to have you here. And I first want to start with you, Nina, because I just want to take a look at the new foreign minister, Johann Wadephul. We know he's a close ally. Both of us have interviewed him in the past. He was seen as a bit more kind of second row expert. What do you make of that particular appointment?
Well, I think there are two main aspects to that choice, right? One, he is a very, very close confidant of Friedrich Merz's, so the likely next chancellor. And he is going to head the foreign ministry and is from the same party as Friedrich Merz. And that is a first. We haven't seen that in decades, that the conservatives are now going to hold both the foreign ministry and the chancellery. So that does mean that Friedrich Merz and Johann Wadephul can coordinate very, very closely, that Johann Wadephul can go on trips and everybody abroad, all the allies will know, okay, what this man says is actually what the chancellor also wants to do. So that is something that speaks for Friedrich Merz's policy and his strategy to bring Germany back into a leadership role on the European stage as well.
Well, it's an open secret here that a lot more foreign policy will be made in the chancellery. Also, with the political director from Germany's foreign ministry now moving into the chancellery, becoming the chief foreign policy advisor of Friedrich Merz himself. And then we've seen a couple of surprises. We've seen a couple of appointments. The new trade minister, Katharina Reiche, she comes from big business. She's a former MP. So that took quite a few people by surprise, didn't it?
It did. And we'd seen all those lists of people who were probably or possibly going to head certain ministries. And then turned out that Friedrich Merz did surprise a lot of people with some of the choices. Katharina Reiche, the new economy minister, is one such example. And this does speak for the fact that Friedrich Merz really is not a traditional German politician, in as much as he went out of politics for a long time and has come back. So now he doesn't have the same sort of networks. He also doesn't have the same sort of loyalties, perhaps, or, you know, those feelings where you need to give somebody back a favor who paid you a favor sort of a couple of years ago or so. So all these things didn't work. It just means that Friedrich Merz says, all right, there are a couple of people who I trust and I'm willing to throw them into a situation because I'm convinced that they can get things done. And maybe to people abroad, this sounds like, yeah, duh, but it doesn't sound like that for German ears. This is quite unusual. And of course, she is somebody who does have some experience in German politics. You know, she was sort of a secretary, not a secretary of state. She was a state secretary within a ministry. So she does have networks, but then she left politics and has now come back.
Yeah, and I just want to emphasize how different Friedrich Merz sounds on the key foreign policy issue, the key issue here in Europe, which is the war in Ukraine. He was speaking to the European People's Party gathering just a while ago, and he said there will be a lot more foreign policy coming out of Germany. He will try and find new alliances in Europe. And this is how he sounds, remarkably different on the war in Ukraine compared to the current still Chancellor Olaf Scholz. Let's just take a listen.
Wir sind nicht Kriegspartei.
We are not party to this war, and we do not want to become that. But neither are we unaffected bystanders or intermediaries. There must not be any doubt on where we stand. We stand firmly by the side of the attacked country, and thereby on the side of all people in Europe who stand for democracy and the rule of law, freedom and an open society.
So Olaf Scholz wouldn't have said this.
No, he wouldn't. No, because it's too clear. You know, I mean, Olaf Scholz was somebody who was always very, very careful to not cause too much panic in the German population by alleging that there is something where Germany is involved somewhat in Russia's aggression against Ukraine, but also Europe. This is something that the defense minister, by the way, from the same party as Olaf Scholz, has always made very clear. And this could have come, something, a statement like that could have come from Boris Pistorius, but not from the current chancellor, who's going to leave office next week. So Friedrich Merz is making two things very clear, that he is also going to have a similar approach to that very, very big question of how can Germany continue to support Ukraine? How can Germany try and keep all the allies on board, also potentially try and work better together with the US administration, who are hinting at losing interest in supporting Ukraine? And that is where he sees eye to eye with Boris Pistorius more than with Olaf Scholz.
Although we, of course, expect Boris Pistorius to remain the defense minister. And he did try and avoid picking fights with Olaf Scholz, who tried to win an election but failed, on saying he will make sure that Germany does not become a party to this conflict, gets nowhere near this. So we're expecting now to see an alignment of like-minded thinkers on Ukraine, a lot more hawkish almost in that sense, and all convinced that Europe must stand its ground at all cost. And defining that will be, of course, the first key task of this incoming government, as we expect this election of Friedrich Merz to take place on Tuesday on the 6th of May. So with this, I would like to bring in Johannes Winke, because Mr. Winke, you are very close to Friedrich Merz by default. You advise him particularly on what the younger generation wants. And I want to kick off with a warning you made towards him at that very vote of the conservative CDU party as it voted for this coalition agreement. Let's just take a listen.
If we don't manage to create a new and fair generational contract, then the young generation, which will have to repay all the extra loans and is expected to defend our country in the future, will cancel that contract.
So a clear yes, the youth organization stands behind this coalition agreement, but, and what are your conditions here?
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European Current Affairs programme Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans Wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge, bringing you a combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Join us every Thursday.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to discuss to both of you. Well, my statement on our party side was very clear. We are facing a very serious situation for the younger generation in Germany in general. And that is because our society in general in Germany is really facing a really demographic change over the last, well, let's say decades almost. And this demographic change will be a very serious conflict for state finances in the future. And well, we have in Germany a generational contract between the younger and the older generation, because the younger generation is financing the pensions of the older generation. But the problem is, because there are so much pensioners in Germany in the meantime, I think politics in general is just doing things very good for the pensioners, but not so much for the younger generation. And that's a big problem. And well, I told the party very seriously and very honestly that the younger generation could terminate this agreement. And of course, as you ask, many people are asking me, well, how are you going to terminate this agreement, this generational contract, because you have no negotiation power whatsoever, because you are just so few young people in Germany. And I think the problem here is, and we've seen this over the last 3-4 years, that many young, very well qualified people in Germany are actually leaving the country. to other European countries, but also to the US. So there is a big problem. I've seen this in my friends of mine are moving to Switzerland, for example, or to the UK. And so I think this is a big problem for Germany, not only that there are more and more older people, but also that the younger people are really thinking about leaving the country. And that's, I think, is a very serious problem.
Yeah, I think it's quite striking that what sounds almost like an purely internal problem could affect Germany's ability to act. The cash is on the table for this incoming government, a 500 billion euro package in fresh debt that goes beyond what the constitution would have permitted, essentially a blank check for defense spending above 1.5%. That is what has been agreed on before this government comes into office. And that is something that future generations will have to deal with. I just want to also get your assessment of the team that Friedrich Merz is gathering around him. Certainly we know it from the conservative side. Someone like Carsten Wildberger, who has come from an electronics giant here in Germany, is now tasked with the not very small task of state reform and digitization, something particularly the younger generation here cares about deeply. Do you feel that this is a different kind of team, and also a team that will be able to deliver?
Well, I think it's a whole new approach, right? Because normally in the last decades, all ministers were just out of the politics bubble, let's put it this way. And I think Friedrich Merz has made a whole new approach in selecting people from the economy. And I think that is what Germany needs very badly right now, because our economy is in big struggle over the last 3 years. So I think this is a new approach, and I think it's the right approach. And I think the German people are really some way in somewhat surprised about that. But I think it's a really good signal to the German people that, well, the new coalition and the new government has experts in it, and I think it's a very good sign.
You know, we know that we've got a lot of viewers and listeners in the US. So, Mr. Winkel, if you could just lay out to them as well how this is going to be different from DOGE and why it is necessary to create another ministry to deal with digitalization in this country and the reforming of the state. I mean, this does just sound typical German. You create another bureaucratic entity to deal with bureaucracy.
Well, first off, I'm not really convinced that DOGE is the right approach. I mean, you didn't say that, but in general, to the US viewers and listeners, I'm not really convinced of this approach of Elon Musk and Donald Trump right now. I think they are really facing more and more problems over the next weeks and months. But let's see how this turns out. When it comes to Germany, I think Friedrich Merz learned from the problems over the last couple of decades in terms of digitalization, because in the last governments in Germany, every ministry on its own decided what to do on digitalization, and this obviously didn't work out very well. And so Friedrich Merz decided and made this fundamental decision to put all of the digitalization in one house, in one ministry. And I think that's the right decision, because otherwise there would be chaos. And I think that's the right decision from him.
Now, on key issues, and you clearly feel very strongly about pension, because the level of pension has been agreed, the pensionable age wasn't raised here in Germany. That's one of your key points of criticism. What will be the real test for you? How will you measure the success of the Merz government, particularly for the younger generation here in Germany, which also faces very likely a new conscription scheme here as well to bolster Germany's ability to defend itself?
Well, I think there are three main criteria for the next government in general. First off is migration. Do we make a fundamental decision and a fundamental turnaround in comparison to the last 10 years? Second is economy. And I think that the new ministers with their background can really be a big help on this issue. And as you told, the third is generational fairness between the generations, young and older generation in Germany. And the way to achieve that is that we will have a new commission on pensions. And Friedrich Merz really took our criticism over the last weeks and said, well, we will have to make some fundamental changes in Germany in the pensions, and the commission will do its work and will do its work immediately. And I think what is really important about this commission is that younger people will have a place in it, because the last pension commission, there were non-member under 40 years. And so to talk about younger generations and their interests is not, you know, it's just no way to do it without the younger generation. So we have to be in it.
That's the point you made to Friedrich Merz. And also Friedrich Merz has been speaking about migration, the issue that became the hot button issue in these elections, that also saw Friedrich Merz accept votes from the far right AfD party before he was elected. Many criticize him that that cost him percentage points, that that's why the result was only 28.5% in these elections. And what's often lost in that heated debate is how he is pro-qualified migration. And he reiterated that at that very vote for the coalition deal. Let's just take a listen to that.
We are a country that welcomes and needs migration. And those who have been living with us, living, working, raising families for years and decades, are and remain welcome. Changing our course on migration will change nothing about that.
And that change, of course, on migration is something that was reiterated by Thorsten Frey, who worked very closely with him in parliament, who will become his chief of staff in the chancellery. Nina, what do you make of these mixed messages? Because they appear mixed at first glance.
Well, of course they appear mixed, but that has been the problem for the Conservatives for the last couple of years. I mean, Thorsten Frey, you just mentioned him back in 2013, hinted at the possibility of getting rid of the individual right to asylum here and instead work with contingencies, something that is not something that anybody in Germany really thinks should happen, because it is enshrined in the constitution. The Conservatives had this debate again.
It's still not off limits for Merz, but the Social Democrats had that enshrined in this very agreement that that won't be touched. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So it's not realistic, shall we put it that way. If Friedrich Merz doesn't want to go together with the far-right AfD, which he has clearly ruled out, and he's not going to do that, which is explains the whole situation, you know, that this is not a marriage of love between the Conservatives and the Social Democrats. But both sides know that there is no alternative. I mean, the Social Democrats in this election scored their historically worst result. They only got 16.4%. This is still Germany's oldest party, and they came after the far-right AfD party. So if nobody wants to go together into a government with the far-right AfD party, then these two have to get this done. And migration is, of course, something where a big chunk of the German population want to see things change. Now, just what exactly it is very, very difficult if you want to stay in the realm of international law, if you want to protect people who have legitimate concerns about their safety back in their home countries. And like you say, if you do want to still attract skilled labour, and not like what we just heard from Johannes Winkler, to have these qualified people choose other countries because they don't feel welcome. I mean, there are lots of qualified people with origins in different countries who are now saying, do we need to pack our bags because of the mixed messages that they're sending? So it is going to be crucial that they, the Conservatives especially, because they're now going to be in charge of all those crucial ministries and positions, that they get it done in a decent way, shall we say. So Friedrich Merz has announced that he's going to have big changes implemented on day one. And what is the most likely scenario? The most likely scenario is that we'll see a lot of border controls in the first couple of days to just make it clear, OK, things are changing. We're not going to let just anybody into this country anymore.
In fact, Thorsten Frey, the future chief of staff, said that this will happen from day one, that we will see more people turned away at the borders who have no chance of claiming asylum here in Germany. Mr. Winkel, I just want to check in with you. The Interior Ministry went to the Conservative sister party, the CSU. Alexander Dobrindt will become the new Interior Minister. He was before leading the parliamentary group of the Conservative CSU sister party here. How relieved are you that this is now the business of the CSU in Bavaria?
Well, I think the CSU in general was really clear on illegal migration in the last couple of years, in particular towards the Green Party in Germany, and they were really hard and took a hard stance on them. And so they really can show what they are up to. And so it's a big opportunity, I think, for the CSU and for Alex Dobrindt in particular. And so we are really expecting a lot from them.
There's another young hopeful in the party, Jens Spahn, who is going to lead the parliamentary group now of the Conservative CDU. He reignited a debate on how to handle the far-right AfD in parliament. He says he only, in quotation marks, reiterated that it needs to be treated normally according to the rules of parliament when it comes to certain committees. How helpful or how harmful is it for the CDU to keep reigniting the question of how to deal with the far-right AfD?
Well, with all respect to Jens Spahn, I think he's not that young, to be honest. Because you describe him as a young man, but...
Someone in his early 40s counts as young in the Conservative CDU party.
Well, that's in Germany overall.
I think that's a big problem, obviously. But coming back to your question, I think the AfD is not a normal party, right? I mean, they have extremists in their party and not just a few, but very many of them. And not only many of them, because they have them in their highest positions. For example, Mr. Höcke, and he's just a fascist.
He's the party in Thuringia. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And he's a very famous and he's a very influential politician in the AfD. And so I think it's a big problem with the AfD. I think it was not the right decision to vote alongside them a few months ago before the general election. I think that was not a good decision, to be quite frank. Well, when it comes to the next months and years, I think the AfD is not a normal party, and so it can't be treated normally. And I think that is the way we should go in the next years.
Hi there, it's Michaela here again. Since our podcast was recorded, there was some major news. Germany's far-right Alternative for Germany party, which we discussed in this edition, has been classified as right-wing extremist in its entirety by the German Domestic Intelligence Service, known as Germany's Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution. The body said it has sufficient evidence proving that the AfD party breaches Germany's constitutional commitment to equality by viewing Muslim Germans as second-class citizens. The AfD has already said it will contest this in the courts, yet the official label of right-wing extremist will reignite the debate on whether the AfD party should be banned altogether here in Germany. There are high legal hurdles for that here.
Mr. Winkel, you, at the time when Friedrich Merz went to Bundestag, to Parliament, and had that vote passed, that was, of course, non-binding, but it still sent a shockwave, especially through the ranks of the Social Democrats. At the time, you did speak out against that move by Friedrich Merz. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, did you ever talk to him about that, about his motivation and about whether he now sees it as a mistake? Have you ever addressed that issue with him at all?
Well, I said after the general election, we have to analyze our campaign in general. But I think this special vote in the parliament will be quite a big part of this analysis. And so we didn't speak about it yet. But of course, we have to do a really serious analysis of the general election. And I think the vote with the AfD will be quite an important part to this analysis.
Well, drilling down on that, because Friedrich Merz clearly took on the criticism. He, at that vote on the coalition deal, told you, of course, that he's taking your criticism on board. But he also spoke of having taken out a political loan that he now has to pay back. First of all, it was very unusual to hear Friedrich Merz be so self-critical. I've not heard him in public do that before. And how do you interpret this political loan that he's taken out? And how do you expect the payback to look like?
Well, first of all, I was really happy about him being that criticizing to himself, because that was actually what I told a big newspaper, Süddeutsche Zeitung in Germany, a couple of weeks ago. If you take a loan, you have to be able to pay it back. And so it was quite surprising that he took these exact words. So I was quite happy about that. And I mean, the way of paying it, the loan back, will surely be at the pension commission, which has to be enabled very soon after taking power with the new government. And then we have to be a part of this commission. The younger generation needs to speak about and needs to discuss alongside the politicians. And then we will see what comes out. I mean, I'm not sure how it ends, but of course the expectations are really high amongst young people in Germany, and especially amongst the youth organization of our party. And so I think the CDU really has to be aware of how unhappy right now the young generation in Germany is with the pension and social politics in Germany. And so I think we will have really to fight for the young generation. I told that at the party right now in Berlin, and I think they really have to be aware that we are really confident when it comes to pension politics and to fight for the young generation in Germany.
Nina, how do you expect that payback to look like?
Well, this is going to be the key measurement for Friedrich Merz, who has already lost a lot of credibility. He will have to deliver. He will have to speak to the young generation in his own party. He will have to give them a very important say in matters that concern their future. So, you know, we're not just talking about pensions, we're also talking about military conscription, because that is, of course, something where a majority of Germans are saying, yes, this is something that we need. We need to invest more in the military, but also we need to draft people again. At the moment, the coalition treaty says for now it's going to be voluntary, but the vast majority of Germans say, well, yeah, maybe we should make it compulsory again. Now, the vast majority, again, we've spoken about that a lot today, the average German is old, right? So if you ask the young generation, the picture is different. So the young generation needs to be heard on that issue. I think that is one way for Friedrich Merz to pay back some of this loan that he's taken. I mean, he has historically bad polls at the moment. You know, not once in the history, in the post-war German history, has a chancellor started into his office with bad polls like this. I mean, it's almost as though he's already in office. This, you know, lots of people have lots of big expectations. So that is definitely one thing that he has to do. And he has to manage that issue with the firewall. So that agreement within his own party, but also with the next coalition partner, the Social Democrats, that he's not going to do anything with the far-right AfD. If he doesn't deliver on that, if he weakens his positions, if he flirts with them here or there, you know, that is going to cost him credibility. And I just wanted to mention again to our viewers and listeners, we've done a lot of episodes on the AfD. So, you know, if ever somebody is interested, go back to our previous episodes and you'll find a lot more details, because, of course, the Conservatives are under a lot of pressure.
And of course, the AfD have doubled their share in Parliament. So watch out for an episode on that coming up certainly very soon. And also how this incoming government deals with the far-right AfD. But I just want to close, Johannes Winke, with your expectation of what you think the timeline is, or how German stability will look like. It won't be Merkel-style German stability, that's for sure, because Friedrich Merz was an inner party adversary almost of Angela Merkel in the past. But clearly the expectation amongst partners worldwide in Europe, NATO partners, is that Germany will lead and will provide German-style stability again. So how will that look like in your assessment, and can can Merz deliver on that?
Well, first off, he has to deliver on that.
Yes, he says
and
so.
We talked about DOGE, for example. I think if there is one good thing about the current US administration under Donald Trump, then it is, and we've seen that in Canada yesterday, which was quite surprising, then that there is some kind of a shock wave. And sometimes you really need to have a shock wave in order to, well, let's say, wake up. And I think Europe really needs to wake up and needs to become an adult in a way. And I think now it's really clear to all European partners that we have to do really big changes in Europe over the next couple of years in terms of economics, in terms of military especially. And Merz is really in that line. And I think he's really not afraid of playing a leading role in Europe. You know, because of our history, many politicians over the last decade say, well, we don't want a leading role in Europe. But nowadays, the other European partners are demanding that leading European role of Germany. And I think that's historic-wise, of course, that's a really good sign. But it's also important that we are able to accept this leading role in Europe. And I think Friedrich Merz is able to do it, and he's ready for the job.
Yeah, and I really think it has been striking conversations I've had with him, but also his close advisors and people coming into the government, that there is such an awareness that now counts, that come the next elections, there will be an instant advantage for the far-right AfD unless this government is able to deliver.
And delivering means fixing the economy, right?
Exactly. And delivering means different things for different people. But for here, it means the economy, but also stability of social services, of the pensions, pension system.
Make them sustainable. Right?
So my closing question to you, Nina, is factoring in the Social Democrats, whom you follow very, very closely for us, what do you expect to be the new German definition of political stability Europe's largest economy will provide?
I've already said that it's not a marriage of love, but
never was the grand coalition. So, yeah,
we're going to see a cabinet full of pragmatists, I would say, in this new German government. So stability does mean, and I have to quote the coalition treaty, responsibility for Germany. These are all going to be people who know the weight of the task ahead. And this is something where they will have to just stop the interior fighting, the infighting, or the political bickering. So they're going to try and focus on that, to not have those arguments play out on the open stage. They'll have to, and I think they will aim to try and keep that to themselves as much as they can, which is why Thorsten Frey, as chief of staff of Friedrich Merz, is going to play a very vital role, because that was not very successful under the previous government. We all know that it's highly unpopular with the German population. If you see politicians who are tasked with sorting out your country's situation, fight each other on the open stage all the time. And this is something that they'll have to try and they want to try to avoid.
And Thorsten Frey, incidentally, also being a former mayor, so he knows grassroots politics very much from up close. And with this huge chunk of the cabinet that we already know, we still await, as we record this, who will be nominated by the Social Democrats.
We'll know on Monday.
We'll know by then. And so with that, I want to thank you, Johannes Winke, for joining us here today on Berlin Briefing. And we've got you briefed up now on the cabinet, as far as we know it, certainly from the conservative side. Don't forget to check out our weekly Berlin Briefing newsletter as well, to get the latest analysis as it comes trickling in throughout this very eventful week, as we await the election, finally, of Friedrich Merz on the 6th of May. We look forward to you checking in with us next week. You find us wherever you found us this time around, and wherever you check in for your podcasts.